Here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm thankful that my roof's not leaking. All four tires on my automobile have about 33 pounds of pressure, and we were able to get here safe and sound, and I'm glad about it. Are you glad to be here tonight? So glad to be here. Amen. We're going to turn to the word of the Lord tonight, to the book of 1 Chronicles. The book of 1 Chronicles. Is that the Old Testament? I guess if there's a 1 Chronicles, there's a 2 Chronicles. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be reading from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 29. I'm glad tonight that I don't have to figure things out. You know, we struggle because we're trying to figure things out. But if we could learn to be like David, a man who is always after the heart of God, a man who the scripture records was always inquiring of the Lord, at least most of his life. He was always inquiring of the Lord. God, what's your plan? What's your direction? What's your decision? How do I respond to this? Amen. I know it is natural to want to figure things out. And I believe that there are things to be learned in the process of trying to figure it out. But as far as living for God, you don't have to figure it out. You just have to seek God, know God, learn how to align yourself with God, His will, His ways, because He's already figured it out. And if you'll walk with Him, you won't have to worry about figuring things out. Just learn to trust Him. One of the most difficult things for us to do is to trust the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him, so that this will happen. He will direct our paths. That's easy to say and quote, but it's very difficult to do. But if we can do it, then we will see tremendous results in our lives. I love living for God. I love being in the church. It seems like the longer and the more I walk in the light, the brighter it gets. Now, I know the more people walk in darkness, the darker it gets and the more deceived they are. But this is the great reality. If you and I not sit in the light, not sit back and be passive, but to walk, that means to progress or to conduct one's life. If we will walk in the light, we will have more light, more illumination. You'll move from a 20-watt room to a 40-watt, from a 40-watt to a 60-watt, from a 60-watt to a 75, and on and on and on. The Bible says that the path of the just is as a bright and shining light. Amen. And it shineth more and more unto that great day. Somebody say, Jesus is that light. Amen. And the more you stay focused on Him and walk in Him, hallelujah, the brighter He gets, the more glorious He becomes, and the more you receive of Him. Hallelujah. Let's read. I'm sorry. I just got a little moment of inspiration. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, verse number 11. Let's read together. If we have the scripture either on our phone, electronic device, or our Bible. And if you've been living for God for a while, and you know you're calling yourself a Christian and a member of the body of Christ, and I believe that you are, but I believe that one of the greatest things that you and I could do is to bring the Word of God, bring the Bible, bring something to church where you can look at with your own eyes. Amen. And if you're blind, bring something that's Braille where you can feel the Word of God. Hallelujah. I don't want to just depend on what we say from the pulpit, because we make mistakes and we butcher things sometimes, at least I do. We misquote. And I realize that we can look on the screen, but there's nothing like looking in the Word of God for yourself, looking at your own Bible, taking your pen and your marker and highlighting those verses of Scripture. Hallelujah. There's nothing like seeing it and hearing it and feeling it and getting it moving and working inside of your life. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Everybody say, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for all, and I want to emphasize all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. I want to encourage you in the Lord tonight that you can rest assured this one thing is true, that our God reigns, that our God is in charge, that our God is ruling. And amen, there's never a moment where he's not in charge. He rules over the kingdoms of men. He rules over angels and devils. He rules over the heathens. He rules over the nations. He rules over all of the elements. He rules, amen, in every level of the atmosphere. He rules in the universe. Our God is sovereign. And you and I, amen, have the privilege to know him and to walk with him and trust him and be secure in this one truth, that our God is sovereign. You may be seated. Why don't you clap your hands and just praise the Lord for just a moment. Come on, praise him because he's in charge. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And if he's in charge, that means I don't have to be. I guess one of the greatest challenges that you and I have is giving up or rendering our own rights and power and desire to be in charge. I realize that in every human being there's a desire, an innate desire to be in charge. We like to be in control, don't we? But if you and I are going to walk with God and to become like Jesus Christ, we have to give that control, amen, and that holding on to being in charge, we've got to give all that up, and we've got to let him rule and reign, not just over us, but inside of us. Hallelujah. And realize that it's his kingdom, it's his church, it's his heaven, it's his earth, we're his people, everything belongs to God, all the resources of the earth belong to God, in his hand is power and might, in his hand it has, amen, the ability to give strength to all, to raise one up or to set another down, amen, he can cause us to abound or he can cause us to be abased. Our God is in charge. He is sovereign. Amen. And tonight I want to echo the word of God. I want to declare that our God reigns, and he reigns over all, and he reigns supremely, and he reigns absolutely. And as sovereign, he can do what he wants to do. And according to the verses we read in the scripture, he will do what pleases him. He will do all his will. In fact, if you understand God, at least who he is, what he is, and what he is not, and we do realize through the scripture that he is sovereign, that he rules, that he reigns over all things, but I want you to understand something. God is not obligated to you and I. He is not obligated to you and I. Amen. He is not subject to us. God is not our servant. Amen. We are His servants. We are His subjects. He has made us in His image. Oh, what a blessed people we really are to get to know this God more and more every day. But I've come to realize something, that even though God will do according to His will and according to His pleasure, but God will absolutely do nothing that is in violation of His word, His will, amen, His ways, or His character. Hallelujah. God does nothing and will never do anything that is in violation of who He is, because He cannot deny Himself. I also come to realize that nothing can stop God. No thing can stop God. No devil can stop God. No people can stop God. No politician can stop God. Come on. Nothing in this world, nothing in this universe can stop our God. Our God will do everything that He has predetermined that He will do. Hallelujah. He's able to bring all things to pass. He's able to perform. He's able to get the job done. Psalms 135 and verse 6 says, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places." Somebody say, He does what He pleases. In Ephesians 1:11, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things." Somebody say all things after the counsel of His own will. Not our will, His will. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. I think it's a good idea that we get to know Him a little more, so that we can understand His will and so that we can walk in alignment with His will. Somebody say, He has a will. Amen. And we realize that God is in charge. He's ruling and He's reigning and He's sovereign. Amen. But I want to tell you how He is able to do that. I could make it very plain and very simple. God is sovereign because God is God. He is the great I Am. He is the Almighty. But I want to break it down in some terms that you make and relate, not really relate, but maybe comprehend a little bit better. He is sovereign because He is eternal, because He is spirit, because He is infinite, because He is transcendent. Amen. He is able to be sovereign because He is omnipotent, He is omniscient, and He's omnipresent. Hallelujah. He has the power and the ability and the wisdom and the knowledge and the strength and the endurance to be our sovereign God. Aren't you glad of that? I am glad that my God, hallelujah, created heaven and earth, hallelujah, and He didn't get tired, He didn't get weary. Hallelujah. Our God rules and reigns, and He's going to continue ruling and reigning, hallelujah, just as He always has. And you and I can have confidence in this God who rules over all people and all things. In Isaiah chapter 46, verses number 9 through 11, amazing passage of Scripture, especially when you read it slow and you break the words down and you understand, or at least seek to understand what He is saying. The mouth of the prophet was opened and the word of God came forth and said, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end." Somebody say, He declares the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. He already knows what's the finish line because He's already determined that. He's already set that. He's already declared that. And everything that God declares to be the end will absolutely come to pass, just like He declared it in the beginning. Hallelujah. He declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, even calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it," He says, "and I also will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it." Hallelujah. God is a man of His word. If He said it, He will
to it, because he's got the ability, the might, the strength, the wisdom, the endurance to get it done. Somebody say, I'm going to trust this God. I'm going to trust him. Hallelujah, because he knows what he's doing. And he knows how to help this world. And he knows how to take care of things that we can't fix, that we've been trying to fix and pray about. I want to say this, no one escapes God. No thing can escape God. God made all things. Everything is subject to our God. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word, hallelujah, was the instrument that God used to make all things. Hallelujah. And one day the Word, and it's recorded in the Scripture that this Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and we know his name to be Jesus. Jesus Christ is the very Word made flesh. He is the very incarnation of God. And the prophecies, amen, that was spoken about Jesus, even from the book of Genesis and all through the Old Testament, God made sure that everything that he said came to pass. And that's why when you read about Jesus, it will say this, and it came to pass according to the Scripture, and it was fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Joel, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, which was spoken by Hosea. Because God's making sure that he stands by his word and that he performs everything that he himself has declared. And it will absolutely come to pass, and nothing or no one can stop it. 1 Chronicles 16 verses number 30 says, fear before him. All the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it shall not be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Hallelujah. This is the reason to rejoice. And let men say among the nations. And I hope this, amen, gets so deep into our spirit that we think about it and that we speak it. And when we see things and when we see people doing things that are contrary and they think that they've come up with the great idea, we need to have the conviction of truth that it is God that works in us. It is God that made us and not we ourselves. It is God that gives the power to get wealth. God gave you your body. God gave you a brain. God gave you two eyes and two ears, hello, and one mouth. He gave you two hands and five fingers on each hand. He gave you two legs with two feet, amen, with five toes on each. I'm telling you, God has a plan, amen, and we are a part of it. And I want to work with God and align myself with God. Hallelujah. Because I want to see the good works of God accomplished in my life. And if you continue to read the Scriptures, and I'll just give you these notes if you want them. But Psalms 47, Psalms 96, Psalms 97, Psalms 99, Isaiah 52, Revelation 19 and 6 talks about the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Our God reigns. The Lord reigns. What he's saying is, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. The devil's not in charge. Man's not in charge. The president's not in charge. Come on. The governor's not in charge. The police department's not in charge. God is saying to the earth and to all people, I am in charge. I rule and I reign over all. Hallelujah. I can start it and I can stop it because I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. Nothing starts without my permission and nothing ends without my word. We see the examples of God's sovereignty as we look through the stories in the Bible. Joshua 10 verses 12 through 13 where it says the sun stood still. Somebody say that's the sovereign power of God. Saul on the road to Damascus. Hallelujah. He was there and he was going to execute and persecute and continue wreaking havoc upon the church. But God in his sovereign ability appeared as light and spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul looked up and said, Lord, who art thou? And the voice came from that bright light that was brighter than the light of the sun. And a sovereign voice spoke like thunder. It sounded like thunder to everybody else. But he made sure that Saul heard his voice. And he said, that I am Jesus. He just revealed that he is the sovereign God of the Old Testament, manifested in the flesh in the New Testament, and he's still in charge. I want you to know when Jesus Christ walked this earth, he was in charge. Hallelujah. They didn't take his life. He gave his life. We see the sovereign hand of God in creation. We see the sovereign hand of God in Joseph's story. He went from pain to power. He went from a prison to a palace. Somebody say that's the power and the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. He wasn't there trying to finagle things and figure things out and manipulate people. No. God was orchestrating the whole thing. And God made sure that his purpose was going to be fulfilled. Amen. And God used that man to save his own people and to preserve a generation that he wanted to perpetuate until the day of Jesus Christ. Why? How? It's because God is sovereign. We see the sovereignty of God in the fiery furnace. The Hebrew boys are there. They've been thrown into the fire. They went in bound, but they were set free in the fire. The fire didn't burn them. When they came out, there was no scent. There was no smell of smoke upon them. Hallelujah. I want to be like that. I want to be able to come out of my fiery trial and not stink and not have a bad attitude and not smell like my trial. The reason why is because they trusted in God before they went in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they trusted in God while they was there. God didn't just show up. He's always been there. He just manifested his sovereignty. Hallelujah. And then the king realized that, wow, your God is God. There's nobody like this. I've never seen any kind of power like this. I'm telling the church of the living God that God is going to manifest his sovereignty in ways that's going to shake the whole world. Hallelujah. Because there's coming a day where every tongue will confess and every knee will bow, hallelujah, before the Lord and say that he is Lord. The sovereignty of God will make sure that happens. We see the sovereignty of God when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. We know in an ordinary situation that the lions would have devoured him. In fact, the lions devoured everything that came down into that pit, but not that day. The Lord was with Daniel before he went in. The Lord was with Daniel when he went in. And the Lord was with Daniel after he came out, because our God is sovereign. Our God is omnipotent. Our God is omniscient. Hallelujah. Our God is everywhere. He knows all things and he has all power. Come on, you're to praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah, because this is the one that we trust in. This is the one that we believe in. This is the one that we have assurance in and hope and confidence and rely upon. Hallelujah. Our God is sovereign. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter number 4. Uncle Neb, he learned that God is sovereign, not because somebody told him, but because God proved to this king that he was sovereign. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel 4:34, Nebuchadnezzar, this king, he lifted up his eyes unto the heavens, and he said, my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. He didn't before, but he was now. He said, I blessed the Most High, and I praise, and I honored him that lives forever. Oh, hallelujah. What a revelation this king got in the middle of his trial. Hallelujah. He honored him that lived forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. Oh, what a revelation of the sovereignty of God. This king that didn't know God before, hallelujah, got some insight to the sovereignty of God. And he said his dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand. Somebody say none. And you need a prayer answered. And you're struggling trying to believe God. It's easy to believe God when you know who he is and what he can do and what his will is. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? None can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? Verse number 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Somebody say, he's able. Hallelujah. Don't try to abase nobody. Let God be God. Don't try to humble nobody. Let God be God. God knows how to take care of people. God knows how to take care of his people. God knows how to take care of this world. Our responsibility is to pray and seek him and align ourselves with him so that we become laborers with God instead of those who work contrary or against him. We will be blessed if we will labor faithfully and in unity with God. God is absolutely in control. He's in control tonight. I want you to just raise your hands and just speak this with your own lips, with your own tongue. Hallelujah. With this in your heart and in your mind, that God's in control, that God is sovereign, that God knows what it takes to get them back. He knows how to deal with the backslider. He knows how to deal with those, hallelujah, that have gone in other direction. God knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. Hallelujah. He has the ability to move and manifest in any area of the world or this universe. If you will look, just take a stroll back through the scriptures and look at what was recorded, that God was able to speak to animals and point them in the direction of the ark. He used a raven to feed a prophet by the brook. Amen. He spoke through a donkey to warn a prophet. He can prepare a great fish to swallow a man to save his life and to give him an opportunity to repent. Our God is sovereign. Hallelujah. If he has to move through nature, if he has to move through the animals, he is going to reach humanity. He's going to reach you. He's going to reach the backsliders. I'm telling you, God is working. God is sovereign. God is in charge. God, hallelujah, is doing something in our midst that we may not understand right now. But it pays to trust him. He can shut the mouths of hungry, ferocious lions in a den. He can harden the heart of Pharaoh, or he can soften the heart of a king. He can cause us to be abound or to be abased. He can give us favor with men, or he can cause men to turn against us. He can establish us. He can alter the laws of nature and physics and gravity. He can divide a Red Sea. Come on, somebody. He can walk on the water. He can cause the wind to blow and send quail. He can send manna down from heaven. I'm telling you, our God's in charge. Our God is awesome. Our God is sovereign. There's nobody like him. Hallelujah. And we get the privilege to know him, to spend time with him, to walk with him, and to have him abide with us every single day. Hallelujah. We're not like the 12 disciples before Pentecost. Hallelujah. We're like them after Pentecost, because we have what they had. We have the same Jesus, the same Holy Ghost, the same anointing, ladies and gentlemen. We have the same ability, the same knowledge, the same revelation, the same sovereign God living inside of us. Oh, hallelujah. I want to turn to him. I want to seek him. I want to know him. I want to trust him more. Hallelujah. God can do all these things, then surely he can take care of his people. Amen. It doesn't matter if there's a famine. It doesn't matter if there's plagues. It doesn't matter if there's frogs. It doesn't matter if there's fleas. It doesn't matter if all the waters turn to blood. God knows how to take care of his people. God knows how to bring salvation. God knows how to bring pleasure in your prison. God knows how to take care of you. If you will learn to let him and not fight against who he is and what he's trying to do in your life. Colossians chapter 1 verses 16 through 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible things and invisible things, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. Somebody say, he's before all things. He's before all creation. And you may have heard me say this some time ago in Sunday school. He's before everything. That means he's the God of everything and he's the God of nothing. Hallelujah. But because there were, before there was anything, before there was everything, there was nothing, and God was there too. So he knows nothing and he knows everything. Our God's in charge tonight. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to raise up apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers and miracles and helps. God is still building his church, ladies and gentlemen, and he's building it right. I wish you would praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish you'd just raise your hands and say, I want to know you more. I want to trust you more. I want my confidence to be solely in you and in your ability. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's building this church. God's building a glorious church. He's not building a passive, average church. God is building a glorious church. Hallelujah. And we are submitting to God, and we are beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And there's going to come a day when people look at us, and they're going to see more than us. They're going to see him. They're going to see his glory. They're going to see his power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What are you going through tonight? What are you suffering with tonight? I'm telling you, my God is able. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power, that sovereign power that works in us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is the same no matter where he is. He's the same. He's the same in his transcendence as he is in his manifestation. As far as who he is and what he can do. Hallelujah. My God, do we understand what we have when we've been filled with the Holy Ghost? Why wouldn't anybody want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Oh, it's because they don't know. It's because they don't know. But they're going to know because they're going to hear. Hallelujah. And we're going to preach it. We're going to preach Jesus Christ. We're going to preach what he can do, what he has done. We're going to preach who he is. And people are going to hear. And people are going to believe. And people are going to call. And God's going to pour out his spirit. It's going to happen. It's going to happen over and over and over and over again. God's already predetermined what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And by him all things consist. Exodus chapter 15 verse 18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. You think you're reigning right now. There's people in high offices that they think they're reigning right now. There are some people that are going to come to a rude awakening. That the Lord reigns over all. That the Lord reigns over all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That day is coming that every knee will bow to him and every tongue will confess to him. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. Praise God. I like it when Jesus was on the boat and he was sleeping. All the other disciples that had known him for a little while were panicking. But in Jesus Christ resided the source of peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. And while they were panicking, he was at peace because he's the Prince of Peace that Isaiah spoke about. Hallelujah. He was also the everlasting Father and the mighty God. And he was not afraid of the condition of the weather. Hallelujah. I want you to know that your God is not intimidated by your pressure, your pain, your problem. It doesn't make him nervous. He doesn't have good days and bad days. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said in Malachi, I'm God and I change not. Hallelujah. There is no fear in God, for God is love, and the love that God is casteth out, it driveth out all fear. Amen. Fear cannot abide in his presence. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, God is not worried about the world condition at all. Is he concerned about humanity? Yes, but he's not worried because he has a plan and he's going to fulfill it. Can we praise the Lord together? Hallelujah. Come on, just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has a plan and he's working his plan, and all things are going according to his plan. I want you to say that to yourself. Say, all things are working according to God's plan.
Now, if you want to make some sense of that, then find the plan of God and you'll understand it. It's there in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Our God is sovereign. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 39. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of mine hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and I say, I live forever. Hallelujah. I pray that every time we go to the Lord in prayer, we recognize that He's sovereign. And that we don't have to twist God's arm to get things done. Prayer is not designed to get you what you want. Prayer is designed to get you who you need, who has what you want. Because when you have Him, you have all things. We're not just looking for a blessing, we want the blesser. We're not just looking for provision, we're looking for the provider. If I have the source, then should I look any further? Hallelujah. I've got the provider living in my house. Isn't that amazing? I told a guy one time on my job, I said, hey, my dad is incredibly rich. I was just trying to strike up a conversation. He's like, seriously? Who's your dad? I just kind of gave him the point, you know. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I wish people would believe it because my dad is incredibly wealthy. Well, just wave your hand and say, my dad is incredibly wealthy. And whatever I have need of, I can just go to him and ask him. I can go to his refrigerator. I can sit down at his table. I can go into the cabinets because he said, all that I have belongs to you. You don't have to go to the world for all that stuff. Just come to the Lord. Hallelujah. He has what you need. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And He's a loving Father. And it's His good pleasure to give unto His children the kingdom. Praise God, praise God. There's a few more things I wanted to share tonight. I realize that we have these expectations of people. If you're a spouse, a husband, you have an expectation of your wife. If you're the wife, you have an expectation of your husband. You understand. In fact, you know, even in a church setting, we have certain expectations in our mind of maybe our pastor and the ministry, and we just have these expectations. But I got to thinking, and then I read the scripture in Psalms 62, verse number 5, that says, my expectation is from Him. You know what? I've got to admit this. I've got to learn to quit expecting things of people and just start expecting God to be who He is and to do what He does because He does it well. Hallelujah. Because my expectation of you may be a little unrealistic. My standard may be a little high as far as my expectation of you and what you should do and your performance and your attitude and so forth. But I've got to realize something, that we are so frail, aren't we? We're so very frail, and we are subject to vanity, and we do fall, and we do make mistakes, and we do miss our exits, and we do get in wrecks. And we do run stop signs occasionally. And we do get bad attitudes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I realize that. But there is one thing that you and I can expect and need to, amen, start expecting, is that God will be God. I expect Him to be God. I expect Him to hear me when I pray. I expect of Him that He's going to keep on being who He is and doing what He does. He's going to keep on building His church. He's going to keep on sending His word through the body of Christ. Through the preacher, God's going to keep on being who He is.
You and I may expect certain people to change and hope that they might change for the better. But we need to realize something. We don't need to put our faith and confidence in their ability or in their decisions or in what they could be. We need to put our faith and confidence in God and what He can do, His sovereign ability. He can move. He can manifest. He can declare. He can speak. He can do all things to fulfill His plan and purpose and pleasure. Hallelujah. My God. My God. But He does nothing to violate His character. My God. He allows men to choose. He's given us a will. Let's stand together tonight. God is sovereign. God rules and He reigns. And He reigns over angels and devils. He rules over the kingdoms of men. He rules over the heavens. He rules over the heathen. He rules over the godly and He rules over the ungodly. But that doesn't mean that He rules in us. There's a difference between reigning over someone and reigning in someone. No wonder Jesus said, if you'll seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these other things that He knows you need will be provided, will be given to you. What that means to me is that if we can seek God and His kingdom, His righteousness, to this effect, that He reigns in us. When He reigns in us, then all the other things that we tend to worry about will be added unto us. Isn't it amazing, the character of God? Even though He's able to do whatever He wants to do, He does nothing that violates His character, that violates who He is, His love, His righteousness. He rules as sovereign, but His sovereignty is perfectly balanced with His character, with His righteousness, His mercy, His love, and you can go on and describe the characteristics of God. I'm amazed. The more I learn about Him, I'm so amazed. And God, even though He reigns over all, He does not reign in all. But He gives you and I a will and the ability to choose this day who we will serve. If we choose to serve Him and submit to His plan, then He moves from ruling over us to ruling in us. And if He rules internally, we are going to eventually rule with Him eternally. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Because there will come a day where He will deliver up the kingdom and His children will be eternal possessors of His eternal kingdom. And it's not because He rules over us. It's because we have come to Him and submitted our lives and our will, and we have now allowed Him to rule in us. Hallelujah. Listen, sowing and reaping is the will of God. Sowing and reaping is the will of God. If we sow according to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow according to the Spirit or after the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That is the will of God. What are you saying? That God has a predetermined end for every path. Now, it's not like, don't misunderstand this. God doesn't just go up and say, okay, eternity for you in heaven, eternity for hell in you,
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. No, God doesn't do that. That's not his character. But God has a predetermined end for every path. There is a path that leads to destruction, and there is a path that leads to life. And it's already set. There's nothing that you and I can do to change the end that he declared from the beginning. So those who are in Christ and will walk with Christ and obey God, your end has already been determined. He's already prepared a place for you. But those who resist and reject God, there's a place reserved for you that is set by God that cannot be changed. God is sovereign. He will change his will for no one. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord tonight? Sowing and reaping is part of the plan of God. I want to remind us that God has made eternal reservations for the godly and for the ungodly. God has set appointments and reservations for all. And we will see the end according to the choice that we make, whether it be the path of life or the path of darkness. But God will do all of his will. His counsel will stand. He will do everything according to his predetermined plan. No one or no thing can escape the sovereignty of God. So what I'm going to do and strive to do every day, and we have a great pastor that is helping us because he cares for us and he speaks to us the word of life. Hallelujah. So that we know what to choose. So my word of encouragement and exhortation, hallelujah, as well as declaring the sovereignty of God. But I'm here to remind us that not only does God rule over us, he desires to rule in us and reign in us. And when he does, they will see him. They will hear him. They will feel him. They will behold him. Oh, can we cry out to this one true, living, eternal, omnipotent God who is in charge. He's ruling. He's reigning. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. If we could learn to submit ourselves to him. Submit ourselves to him. Let God arise, and every enemy will be scattered. Let God arise in your life and in your circumstance, and every enemy will flee from you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we don't want you to just reign over us. We want you to reign in us. Hallelujah. Reign in me. Reign in me. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this earth, in this body. Hallelujah, as it is in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, choose the path of life. Choose to submit to the reign of Jesus Christ every day. Let his character be revealed in you. Let his presence be manifest in your life. Choose to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Not just to pay him a visit from time to time, but choose to serve him and submit to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He is our hope. Our confidence is in him. Our trust is in him. Our trust isn't in this world. Our trust isn't in our 401k. But our trust is in the Lord. For he's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah.
He's before all things, and by him all things consist. And I'm going to learn to submit myself and serve him and walk with him every day and see his reign in me. Come on, can we just lift our hands and say, I receive you, I receive your word. You are great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Our God rules and he reigns.
My Lord, let's receive that word. What a message. What a word from God. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Praise God. We want to go from him ruling over us to him ruling in us. You say, well, how do I know that difference? Well, there's two reasons why you're not going to go out and murder someone tonight. There's two. One of them is because you don't want to go to prison. Now listen to me. If you have murder in your heart, but you don't commit it because you simply don't want to go to prison, the law rules over you but not in you. But when the murder is not in your heart, but love is in your heart, now the law rules in you. And that's what the preacher's talking about tonight. There's a lot of things we do because God rules over us. But what really makes a difference in our life is when he reigns in us. That we're not just obedient out of fear to the consequences, but we're obedient out of love to the conclusion and the results of that obedience. We are in love with the Creator. That's when he rules in us. And that is what God is calling from us today through this word. That message, I was standing over there and I said, this man ought to be standing in the pulpit at General Conference preaching this message. What a message from the Lord. He is sovereign and he rules whether you like it or not. But the question is he ruling over you or is he ruling in you? And as Christians, as children of God, we want to make the transition. That's the call of this message tonight. To make the transition from God just ruling over us to the transition where he rules in us. When we just fall in love with his ways, we fall in love with his commandments. We desire to do what is right. We live and walk to do what pleases him. That's when you know he is ruling in you. When you're something different in the dark than you are in the light, he's ruling over you, but not in you. But when you're the same in the closet as you are on the street, now he don't only rule over you, he rules in you. What a word. Brother Sapp, my God, Pastor, thank you. Come on, put your hands together for that word. I'm telling you, that word was powerful tonight. Powerful. It's life-changing. Oh, hallelujah. Let our desire be that God reigns in us. In us. It's a parallel of the old and the new. In the old, he reigned over them. He said, but in the new covenant, I'm going to write it across your heart. In the new covenant, I'm going to reign in. I'm going to reign inside. My, what a word. This is something to go home and think about, digest, and listen to it on the podcast or ask for the CD. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for being faithful on a Wednesday night. We've got something to bring home tonight from the Word of God. So, Lord bless you. Greet one another. Be kind to one another. I need some people to help us tear down. We got to get some things ready for Peggy Hansen's service. Remember, Peggy Hansen's funeral service is Saturday at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. at Good Shepherd on Military, just south of Purdy Lane. And the viewing is at Palm Beach Memorial Gardens on Seacrest, High Paluxo and Seacrest down by Sam's Holds Food. whatever that place is. God bless you. I love you. Dismissed in the name of the Lord. Bring this word home. Give me some men that'll help me tear down this.